We all are.
Short, quick intro, short presentation, just to get to the tier. I hope everybody had a chance to look and skim through the capital book. What we're looking for tonight are your recommendations or not on the enterprise funds, the stabilization deposit for the OPEB, and then we're recommending the tier one. And if you look in there, we're recommending to keep some of the free cash for the budget deficit. There are some things that are needed and that are broken, and Evan's going to kind of walk through that. But we are looking for formal recommendations on those things that are on the agenda, the three resolutions that you have there. And the council is anticipated to take these actions up on February 11th. February 11th will also be a presentation at the council on an updated FY '27 budget model as well. So we're done.
Do you want to go through the whole?
Slideshow?
My name's Evan Cass. I'm the deputy chief financial officer. In the posted agenda is a capital book. So these are kind of highlights that are pulled from that. Also in that book are the department's formal request forms, the five-year plans, and all the quotes and backups for the requests. So we have capital budgeting decisions. Capital decisions assist in the maintenance and replacement of town assets and identify the funding necessary to accomplish those investments. Brings capital needs of both school and town departments into a single framework for review and discussion. So what makes up our capital improvement program? A five-year plan updated annually. Any operating costs that should be budgeted associated with CIP projects? What are the risks if requests are delayed? Postponing improvements to buildings and infrastructure result in higher costs. Free cash, overlay surplus, and short-term revenues shall be used for recurring capital items and smaller one-time purchases or projects. And bonds will be used for larger capital projects, usually over $1 million, unless it can be paid off under 5 years. Sure, that's fine.
So we provide here a definition of capital projects, but it's really more informational. This is very important, this slide, to make sure everybody understands what free cash is.
So free cash, all in all, is pretty much your revenues that come in over your projections, your expenses that come in under budget. Same principle goes for retained earnings, but those are for enterprise funds, and those certified retained earnings can also be used for that specific enterprise fund.
And just to make sure you know, all of our finance department, Linda Darling, who's also here in the audience, is our comptroller, and this is a very big piece of her role, and this is something that she needs to submit to the Department of Revenue by June 30th.
Can I just ask a clarifying question? So when you say enterprise funds, those are any services we charge for fee?
Yes.
So those go in an enterprise fund and they're accounted separately than the rest of the tax base, which is the property taxes, meals tax, et cetera, right?
Correct.
So that's water,
yes.
Sewer, solid waste or trash, and stormwater.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Stormwater was a new one we implemented just over a year ago.
And so free cash is defined as basically the net, whatever's left at the end of the day. You know, that you said it's overage of expected revenues and savings on expected OPEX. So it's basically just the net profit at the end of the day.
Yep.
And in your packets, or what I provided in the agenda, we provided the reports showing each individual department and also, we have a detail for you to see all of that as well.
I'm sorry, is that this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is that the returns? The returns?
So that's the department returning. That one you just handed out, that's the department's.
Right, so the line item of returns is the money, the extra money that's going to free cash, so that means?
Yes. This slide here just shows our history of free cash and retained earnings over 20 years. So it's just information. Our fiscal policies, this finance committee, not all of you were members at the time, but we look at this every year. So this is what was approved and voted on last year.
Yep. General stabilization is perhaps one of the more important numbers in town, because that's what I think, I could be wrong, what was one of the prime drivers to the AAA rating.
The general and the budget. Correct. The general is like during a duffel. But it also shows to bond rating agencies that you're being diligent and making sure you have proper reserves. That's correct.
And you can find those balances. We put those in that capital book. So you can see all the balances of those accounts. Over the past several years, the town has made great progress in strengthening its commitment to capital reinvestment, increasing funding levels, and maintaining a proactive approach to asset management. The capital report is designed as a planning tool, bringing together capital needs identified by both school and town departments. Inclusion of a project or piece of equipment in this plan does not constitute funding approval. Rather, the plan serves as a snapshot of the current departmental priorities and cost estimates.
This is just a very quick timeline that I put together, pretty much showing, you know, we have to certify free cash. Once that gets certified, then Evan went and reached out to all the department heads, and then they have a timeline when they need to submit their requests, and then Jamie and I and Evan and Linda review all these requests, and then we put this all together for the finance committee in January, and then we'll also propose it to the town council.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
That feels stupid to my brain, but so are you kind of saying that capital requests can only come if we have free cash?
That's correct.
So if, and we have free cash for a variety of reasons. We just didn't hire personnel, we didn't spend whatever we didn't spend. But if we nailed our budgets one year, if for some reason we had almost no, we would have no capital, we'd have no free cash for capital expenditures, essentially.
Free cash is the only source of revenue that we have for capital stuff,
okay.
Other than grants that we may apply for sure.
Okay.
We don't, example, I have a truck, almost $2 million. It was not free cash.
No, that was a borrowing.
It was a borrowing. So there is a, there is
this
an opportunity.
My bad. If things are over $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, you're into a different set of state goals as well.
Okay.
So,
but just to highlight on that too, there's been items we've talked about in the past that were like, these are always in capital, and what if that happened?
Yeah.
It's like safety equipment for our police.
Correct.
It is. Required curriculum for our schools. Like, there's things that are there every year that are like, we should
it's
be.
It's scary, right?
Yeah.
That there could be a day someday where they're not funded.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
The converse of that was also true, though, right? Like, we had certain budget items where we could see very clearly, like, what we had budgeted didn't match last year's expenditures in any way. It was like we budgeted well less than was likely to come in this year. I think I had asked a question about it in the previous meeting, but like, that's what generates this.
Yeah.
Right. We sort of hold some of our budgeting, this number that like we know isn't the number, which then generates.
It's a hell of a guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of like an odd
yeah.
show game of like get it wrong on purpose so you have some.
Yeah,
cash.
I get it. It's yeah, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just describe it as a shell game.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
And you might get there. I don't know if you're getting at a calculation of the free cash, because I'm just flipping through the pages.
Yep.
Because I'm seeing that, I'm trying to get to the 4.5. And like, it looks like on the expense side, it was savings of 1.97. And on the revenue side, it was excess of 1.4, and that doesn't add up.
Yeah, that came to, what, 3.4?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so the free cash is a little more complicated than that. It's a formula that DOI uses. They take like a fund balance, then they take the revenues, they take the deferred revenues, back end stuff, anything that we're, might be in deficit for like grants that we didn't get the money for yet, but we get reimbursed. If we don't get it by a certain time period, they take money away from us because if we never get that grant money, they need to make sure that we're gonna have funds for that. Then it also takes into account anything that we give back as far as what excess revenue that we get, that we didn't think we were gonna get, other funds. So it's a little more complicated. I can forward you if you want DOI's calculation, how they come up with that. If that would be
helpful. Yeah, maybe, or maybe if like you could, I don't know how hard this is, like put in the buckets, like here's how much we got from excess revenues, which I love this schedule, so thank you.
So I've got the
3.4, perfect.
Got
and
it.
I love the detail on the 3.4. So I'd love to know like, yeah, what we're, what's
yeah,
the...
Yeah, I can send you the sheet, how they calculated it.
Perfect, okay.
And it's a combination.
Yeah, and if it has how we actually got to qualify,
yes.
Perfect.
Yep, I can
awesome.
Send that.
Okay. Thank you. And I think I've asked for this before, which is just so, it's so nice.
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
So, and we continue to do that for you.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So in these slides now, what we're doing here is kind of going through what was provided in the book as well as the resolutions. So this is the actual, based on our policies. And as you can see, this year we're funding the OPEB trust only. Pausing for any comment.
Only
yes.
As
opposed to
what?
As opposed to funding the, all of these stabilization funds as per the policy.
Because okay. We're hit on the other things. The other things, check mark green. So we don't need to fund them.
No.
The policy.
No.
Okay.
Based on request, this is what we're proposing. Mm-hmm. So that the departments
can have the funds they
correct.
We don't have access to all these stabilization funds, basically.
Excess over the excess.
I'm just saying, we have a resolution to fund OPEB, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm not funding these other stabilizations because I want to use those funds for the tier one requests that the departments have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so out of the bucket of free money.
Free cash.
It's not cash and it's not free.
Okay, out of the bucket of the proposal is the $451,000 for
which is 10% of free cash.
This fund,
right?
So that the rest of the bucket can go to these other things.
Correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. So this slide, and I know it's hard to see, so the resolution might be better to see for you sitting there because you can't see the screen. These are the, this is the tier one request.
05? No. 04?
I believe it's 04.
04.
Sorry, I didn't bring my agenda.
That's okay.
Thanks. So these are the tier one requests. This is where you need to ask these department heads questions.
They would never ask for anything.
Before we get to that, do we have an updated forecast as to what the projected deficit is going to be, just so when we're kind of figuring
that's
out
a good
what
question.
These,
yes.
These numbers are, like what we would have to fill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After all these decisions are made.
So we're wrapping up our department head budget meetings for next year. We're wrapping those up next week. Early February, we should have state aid numbers to factor into that. And then also getting better estimates on healthcare costs. So I think the original five-year forecast we had showed a $1.5 million deficit. Right now, you could probably say it'd be between 2 and 3.
For this fiscal year?
For
27.
27.
27.
Yeah.
Starting in July 1st.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
We will have better numbers at the February 11th town council meeting. But just for this purpose tonight, which is a great question, that's what it is.
Gotcha. And just, I guess, one, before we get to the questions for everybody else, one quick question we both have, policy. And 10%, I'm guessing that was put in probably for simplicity's sake, but I'm kind of wondering if that policy wouldn't be better served as like a some sort of function of the like the actuarial estimate of what that liability is, because we could fund that every year at 10%, and if it's $450,000 every single year, you could still be well underfunded of whatever the present value of that.
I am going to answer that simply, and Jamie, of course, you can chime in. So our actual aerial is currently working on that as we speak, and we'll present that probably at the end of March. Okay, so the way we're going, we are not going to be fully funded. The plan is when the pension, Norfolk, we pay a pension to Norfolk County, when that is fully funded, we're hoping to take that money and put it towards OPEB. We are doing very well compared to other communities, and this is all gonna be presented, in fact, it was presented last year on March 4th, I believe. He's going to have a better valuation this year because he does a full valuation every so many years, and this is the year. So I will have better numbers. And after that, if we you want to look at the policy and change that, that's certainly something we can talk about. And Jamie, if I'm missing anything, please.
No, I just would say that, we haven't funded OPEB in the last 2 years. We were way ahead of the curve for a while, but every town's struggling with it. We're still in the top 10% of towns statewide, but when we're preparing for borrowing, either for the water tank projects in the next couple of years, but more so the police station at Remington Jefferson or the Horace Mann roof, when we go out to borrow, we really need to have the AAA bond rating, and we really want to start showing commitments to that again. So the bond rating agencies say, okay, we understand there was a bit of a blip here for a couple of years, you override them and try to put our best feet forward. And it just for layman's terms, it's a rainy day fund for employee health care and benefits for the long term. So it's
just because you said something about Norfolk, and you reminded me of something that almost happened last year.
Power cord?
Yeah, it was like some crazy, yes, like $7 million number or something that we were going to be hammered with. Where, because that's still floating out there, right?
Well, yes, it is definitely still floating out there to fully fund the pension system. The law is what the law is. The county, though, made a good decision to try to defray some of that. So I think we're expecting like an 8% increase this year. The number that we already had in the budget model earlier last year was not the final number, but it was a pretty accurate number. So I don't expect that to go up in this year's budget or being a contributing factor to increasing the deficits that we saw back in August. And that's the pension system, just so that the Norfolk County pension system.
Just so I understand this chart.
Yes.
The one that you have up here.
Yeah.
The numbers being, or the items being requested here are not on the budget that the, let's say, fire.
These are not in their operating budget.
Okay, so they don't have the money in their operating budget to do any of these things.
That is correct. And that's
these
a good
are
question.
Afterwards, looks like we have a bucket of money. Can we maybe dip it? And then the amount and total, what's the difference between those?
No, it does, because what I do is I the total is for that department. Some of them have, like, school only has one item, because I have to total up.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Are we asking specific questions now, too?
Of course.
You can. Sorry.
No, that's why.
Tim presented last time, and we had talked about the replacement chart, like the scheduled replacements, so that we weren't seeing that big hit when we needed to buy Chromebooks or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talked about extra cash, nice to have, right, because these are funds that are extra that we're using. I thought that he talked about, and I don't know, oh, hi, Tim. I thought you talked about having a replacement schedule embedded. Didn't we talk about that last time? And I could be mistaken.
Tim Raposa, Director of Technology for the Town and Schools. So what we had discussed was the option of putting things into regular budget. But what that does is that explodes your regular annual budget.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking for a stabilization fund similar to the ones that we're not funding this year.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on that list.
Yeah.
But
enough list.
The naughty list.
Yeah. So I think that's what those two things were.
None of the replacements. So none of the replacements that you identify on the schedule of replacements is in your
regular
budget.
No.
Everything comes out of capital.
Yes.
So if there was no extra money, we would have no Chromebooks.
Correct.
No new Chromebooks, sorry.
Right, and you, in the detail on the technology capital, you'll see that.
Yeah.
Chromebooks,
okay.
Laptops for replacement.
Okay, and then the other one, I just have a question on the extended support for virtual environment. Can you just elaborate a little bit on what that is?
Yeah, so we have the virtual environment, which I had described pretty in depth, but basically it's everything that runs everything behind the scenes. We have two stacks of hardware, one here in this building, one over at the high school, that replicate back and forth to each other. They mirror each other so that they act as backups to each other. That hardware is currently in its sixth year. We were able to find a company that would give us support for an additional 2 years, and I wouldn't do this if it wasn't in great working shape. I mean, even though it's 6 years old, it's still working great, so why, you know, go down that road of replacing it if we can extend the coverage? We have to have coverage on it.
So
that's not an option. So this is extending that for another 2 years, so we don't have to replace that this year, which will be at least 10 times, probably more than that $50,000 coverage.
We were talking about last year's format was very different.
Mm-hmm.
This one is, at least in Lauren's mind and perhaps mine, a little less clear.
Well, it's a little more summary, right? I feel like last year we had a little bit more detail behind everybody.
The capital book
has the detail.
So that was sent to all of you on Friday.
Gotcha. Okay.
I would also just mention last year we didn't have. We had, the budget deficit this year is making this a little bit more fluid, right? Because we're looking for, thoughts from all of you, the council, the school committee, the finance committee. Like, we can't use all the capital free cash and then have a $3 million, $2 million deficit in 5 months and everybody says, what are we gonna do? Are we gonna make more cuts? My list of memo that I put out in August is not a bluff. It's real. The next level of cuts are going to be extraordinarily noticeable, very deep, extremely painful, depressing, and very impactful to every single department here. So I think we're trying to be judicious by saying, look, some stuff's broken. We know the sprinklers and stuff, but what if, I think I get my point across.
So to hop on that, so when we get at we're not funding the, except for OPEB, your recommendation is to fund only the tier ones, the 1.8, which would leave us with the 2.25 to be used potentially to fix, so tier two is good for us to look at, and tier three, because obviously they're still important, but especially tier two, but you're not recommending that they happen at all.
At least as of now.
As of now.
This stuff, we can start the work, on the senior center sprinklers, fix the gas pumps, order the cruisers, get the fire safety protection gear. As all of you know that have been on the board, some of this is still delayed. I think the cruisers are still on a year backlog. I think some of the other fires, 18 months?
Better.
It's better? Okay, 6 months?
Yeah.
So, I think we're trying to, the special ed van, whatever. I think tier two, is, okay, let's see where the budget deficits are. Let's see if there's any healthcare deficiencies from our self-insured that we're leaving. Is there anything else coming up? Because, you know, what else could happen? I say that facetiously because it seems like every day things are changing all over the place. Also, we're making a big campaign this year. We talked about already with the Perfect Storm Report, UGA. You know, we're starting that launch in 2 weeks. The governor's gonna make her announcement on local aid. I hope that there's gonna be a big down payment. That may offset the budget deficit too, right? So as we go through it, but I think when we get to June and we still have free cash left over, you know, we wanna come back and start doing some of the tier two projects. But the finance committee could also say, we really need the tier two projects and we need them now. And we, or the school committee or the school department or the other staff, anybody can say we should spend that money now. I'm not saying no. I just wanna make sure people know where the four corners of the puzzle are and lay the land moving forward. So if everybody on the FinCom wants to recommend one project in tier two, you could recommend a project in tier three. You could go anywhere, but I think at a bare minimum, we're looking at least tier one. I hope that's, is that?
Very good, yes.
And just so you understand, so we did a capital book for the first time this year. And obviously I would love feedback and whatnot, and we'll tweak it and do what you want. So the slide presentation on capital was just to kind of summarize that. All of your detail on what these departments want and their details of each item are in that capital book.
Yep, I'm looking at it.
Okay,
yep.
So I didn't print that out because it's 60 pages. Yes. So that's what, yes.
Oh,
I thought you had a question.
Well, no, I always have a question.
Okay.
But, so we're just chatting. So do we have tier, this resolution 05 is not the tier two and tier three.
I did not do a resolution
for tier two. You kept it separate because we're not talking.
So I have, we have time to make any recommendations that you agree upon before we present to town. To
gotcha.
Town.
This is
Kathy.
So how tier one was decided collaboratively between you guys and the groups? Like if the police chief were to come up and we were to say, hey, are you okay with only getting?
He may not
you know,
be okay with what he's getting. Am I right, chief?
I think he's happy. But to illustrate your point, yeah.
Okay.
Right. And you know, we're short staffed, right? I mean, I know I'm a broken record, but you know, we can only do so much. So it's like we're slammed with time. You know, we put the book out to try to give a comprehensive look at it. But we can talk about tier two, tier three, or tier four, or whatever.
No.
I'm just thank you. It's up to you.
No, we were just trying to understand here. Yeah,
but we're recommending what's in front of you.
Yeah.
But you could make a different recommendation. That's okay.
No, I wanted to make sure I had, for the enterprise one,
yep.
I wanted to make sure
that
wasn't.
There.
Yeah.
Understood.
I have a question for facilities, and there may be others that I looked at the empty list and it seemed like on the tier two facilities, there's a couple things that is basically like replacements. Is there anything that if we don't replace it in time, the actual cost of the issue would be much more than what the capital is? Like one of them is a replace a coil going through multiple presentations. Like one of them's FHS chiller coil replacement. If we didn't do that and the coiler goes, could it cause more damage than that $60,000 cost replacement?
Yes. I think it's more, I don't think the price is gonna change, but this is an opportunity to tackle it in a planned method. I'll use the senior center as an example where the senior center was dispersed for quite some time when it got insulated. So if we say no, and then the coil, you know, at the high school, then, you know, if it has to be done in an emergency state, you know, it doesn't affect me, the facilities department per se. I mean, I gotta probably rush to get the pricing and all that together, get the team situated, but it'll certainly affect, you know, Lucas, Maria, the team, how do they, so I guess from a cost standpoint, no, but from a living in the buildings, absolutely.
Got
Okay. And that, yeah, that's like, chiller compressor is probably the same. I was just wondering if there's anything like, when your hot water tank blows and it floods your basement, then all of a sudden your $10,000 cost became a $50,000 cost. I don't know if there's any of those types of things. Looking at what you just said, it doesn't seem it, but I just wanted to identify that if it was a possibility. On the tier twos, doesn't sound like it. It's like.
No.
Brownfield demo, Washington Street chiller, the chiller at FHS, and then the parameter code review study. Obviously, that's a time, not a time thing. Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
Because we've brought up the memo that has the senior center listed on it as a potential for closing, and we also have the senior center sprinkler system listed as a tier one priority here, is that tiering on the assumption that the senior center remains open? Does that tiering, is that really irrelevant of that fact? We need to do it regardless. It's still a building we own. We need to protect it from fire. Like, would that change the calculus at all, regardless of how probable or improbable it is that the senior center stays open or stays closed? Does that play into the calculus here where we tier this thing?
On sprinklers?
Yeah, I mean, because that's the single largest.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of sprinkler breaks over the past 8 years or so. We had one, I think, a year and a half ago. Insurance covered a high percentage of that, but the sprinkler system ultimately was never fully constructed correctly 20-something years ago. So this is actually the last piece. We've done the insulation. We've done all the other pieces. So this is a problem. I mean, I think as Steve and some of the other veteran members, George and folks that have been around a long time, this has kind of been a problem for a long time. So this is kind of the last installment of cash that we needed to finally fix the sprinkler system in the season.
Yeah, I guess my question is there kind of a dependency in this choice to spend money, depending if that senior center remains open or not?
Oh, it'll remain open. I'm not sure I understand the question.
Senior center was on your memo, Jamie, about one of the options.
I can tell you right now, when I file my budget in April, the senior center will not be cut $1. So it's going to take the elected officials to cut the senior center. Good luck.
Yeah, I
don't think they're going to do that.
Really
I'd be stunned. So I don't think they're going to close the senior center.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure this is a situation. That's the option that's taken, and then we also spend $750,000 replacing the sprinklers.
It's funny because the sprinkler system is $750,000. The senior center budget is actually only $600,000.
Yeah.
So, like, if they think they're going to cut the senior center too, like, you're not really gaining a lot of yield out of that. You're gaining a lot of angry people. So I don't think that's going to happen. The sprinklers are actually costlier than the whole entire department combined with one. So
yeah, not making a judgment one way or the other on that. Yeah. This isn't just if there's a dependency.
Conversely, that building has to be protected for the results of the close.
That's true.
It's going to reopen if it closes. It's not going to close, but if it did,
great point.
It's going to reopen. You still have to protect.
That's a good point. It's still an asset for the town worth millions of dollars, even if it was in the way future somehow closed or something. You'd still want to do something with it and protect the asset.
Yeah, so I guess my question, like, wouldn't that be a tier two in that situation? But
yeah.
I think it's a great point, though, but I think by us recommending it, we're recommending that we think all budget concerns should be saving the senior center, because we just put $750,000 into it. And hopefully the town council would consider the same type of thing, that if they're going to approve this, yeah, they would put through the same measures, because otherwise it doesn't make fiscal sense. Yeah, great. I think it's a great point.
So I'm going to move on to the enterprise funds.
No, wait.
Unless you want to talk about tier three. Yes.
No, I have a question on the tier one. For the police vehicle replacement, there's a cruiser that's down that we're replacing, or what are we just like this one's old, let's get a new one?
one?
No, he has a replacement.
Oh, it's a replacement schedule. So we typically replace about 5 cruisers a year. We're only looking for 3 because different circumstances. One, it was taking about a year for the cruisers to come in from the time, basically, we would get the cars about a year after you voted to give us the money. This past year was 6 months. And then unfortunate circumstances, thankfully nobody got seriously injured, but we've had 5 cruisers totaled in the last several years. 4 of them were not our fault. Somebody basically hit us, and those cars, when they're totaled, they get replaced through insurance. So if you look on that sheet, you'll see that our, you know, the mileage is down. Matter of fact, one of the cars, I think it might have been 613 at the bottom, shows it has 0 mileage, because when I finished that spreadsheet 3 days later, we took possession of the new car after it came back from being upfitted and is now on the road.
Okay, so those cars were totaled, you got back?
Correct.
Okay, and this is 3 additional cars?
This is 3 on the regular schedule. Normally it would be 5, but we don't need the 5, so.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't reduce the amount that we normally request because of the circumstances. We only request what we need, and we only need 3.
Right, so it says replacement, so my question is, if you have...
They're replacing cars that we're gonna basically put, if you didn't give them to us, probably 3 cars would end up down at the DPW just sitting there to go to auction because they're no longer functionally available for us to use.
Okay.
So these are just a regular scheduled replacement.
Okay.
You'll see on the spreadsheet there'll be 5 for next fiscal year, 5 the following year, or it could be 4, I'm not 100%, but it'll show you over the next 5 years what we're looking to rotate out of the fleet.
So you have 5 cars. If you had 5 cars, 3 of them are no longer usable. You want to replace those 3. Just for
easy. Sure, out of the 30 plus cars, 3 of them need to go. Yeah.
Okay, so what happens with those 3 cars?
They go to auction.
Okay, so we get money, some money back from that.
Some money back to the general fund.
But it goes back into the general fund? Mm-hmm. And just not a lot to cover, offset the cost of any of the other bills?
No.
No.
Yep, understood. Hi, Jay.
Hi. Those aren't based off of life cycle.
He's coming.
Jay Scarrett, fleet manager. So those vehicles that they get, every department is based off of a life cycle. Some vehicles have a longer life cycle, but when we have emergency response vehicles, their life cycle is shorter because of what they have to do on a daily basis in responding to emergencies. High RPM rates for acceleration, idle times, pump actions on fire engines. So their life cycles are shorter versus maybe an administrator's vehicle they use at town hall. So we have to base those off of cost. And it just makes more sense for us to keep that fleet up than to be constantly doing reactive repairs that could put officers and public in harm's way.
Thank you.
Maybe a bit in the weeds on the other lights, but I noticed of the 3 cars, 2 of them were Tahoes, 1 was a police interceptor. Can you just walk through the rationale on that? And I only ask that because I think the Tahoes on the base price were more expensive than the cars that they replaced, which were the interceptors.
No, one's going to be the, one is replacing the lieutenant's vehicle, the operations lieutenant. So currently, he has a lot of equipment. It's basically a smaller, it's a mini version of a CT until we can get, if needed, command posts coming in from our Metrolec affiliation with our regional group. Or if we were running, if he had to run an operation, basically right there. So there's a couple different radio systems and some other stuff. And the Tahoe's ours are bigger. The other one is from K9.
Gotcha.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I have a question on the DPW general fund item.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
If I'm reading this right,
it's like pumps.
Yeah, it looks like it's listed as priority 3, and it's actually like the last request on the list.
So, okay. So they'll probably come up and explain it better than I do. So what they did was they split it out between each one. So general funds paying a portion, enterprise funds are paying a portion as well. So that's how we did it.
Steve Pruitt's gonna write you DPW, through the chair. Yeah, the proportionally with vehicles would use that, that's what we'll pay to the funds.
So they do, they split it out? So it's not all coming out of one bucket?
So we put it on tier one, so it's not paid three quarters of it through the enterprise fund, and then say tier one, if say it was on tier two, we didn't vote on tier two, we'd be missing that quarter of the overall purchase.
Because the enterprise funds are, you know, there's no vote really there, there's no different tiers, so I, in order to get, the fuel points are very important, so we had to put that, that portion of it on a tier one.
So even though it's listed as priority three here, because three quarters of it is actually somewhere else, does it make sense to do that and then be quarters short, like bumping this one up just because it completes something that's basically already three quarters paid for? Is that right?
Yep.
Got it. Okay.
Has it already been paid for, or is part of this other?
No, it's part of the enterprise, which we'll get to.
So the enterprise one is 10,000 roughly, and this one's almost 16,000. Together?
They're about the same.
I thought they were all the same.
It's split between the three. Yeah, you're right. So 10,600.
Okay. That's very confusing.
Thank you.
What do you start seeing when I show you how to buy trucks or excavators? We do that too.
So that's
we're not. No, that's your first item. It's tier two.
Yeah.
I just have one last question. On tier two, you have two things that really aren't assets. Maybe they are, but one is the parameter code review study, and the other one is the traffic signal assessment. Are those mostly here because they're one-time costs in nature? They're not technically capital. They're more of a service we need, right? They kind of stick out a little bit. You know, you're not going to appreciate a study. Maybe you do. I don't know. Corporate accounting.
They're one-time costs, and we put the studies in tier two because the schools were requesting a study, DPW requested a study, and then the facilities requested a parameter study. And I think if you added all those up, that was almost another 400,000, roughly.
Yeah.
And it just felt like, given what's coming up with the budget and healthcare, like those could wait till June, right? There's no, they're all good things, right? They're all things I think the public will be really happy with, but is that the most pressing priority right now? Probably, it was the logic. And we wanted to not pick one study over another study, so just kind of lump all the studies into one area.
What happens with the tier two and tier three stuff?
So, based on the budget deficit, and this is unique, right? So, in the past, we would have two rounds of capital. Okay, and we could still have two rounds of capital, but we need to first address the budget deficit. So, I don't quite know, and I'll have a crystal ball, and you know, we work on this every day. Other than the remaining free cash, I don't know, unless health insurance numbers come in lower. Like, there's all these if state aid, blah, blah, blah. So if there is this money to cover the deficit, then we would come back to you with round two of capital.
Okay.
If so I explain that, okay.
Just voting on this. And then, so it's not like the other.
This is your first round of capital, and we are recommending tier one. If you don't want that, you have a whole menu of things you can pick and choose, you could recommend that to the council.
That makes perfect sense.
Oh,
Thank you. Sorry, that was a newbie question.
It's absolutely fine. We're new too, so we'll
and
figure it out.
A follow-up dumb newbie question is, how do we vote on this? It seems like it's an all or nothing vote. I don't want to get arrested leaving here, but if I said no, police vehicles. I think they could catch me, but.
You can make a recommendation.
Right. You'd have to work with the other eight folks here. you'd probably make an amendment, at least to get a roll call vote on how people feel about that item, either adding in or taking out. And then eventually you'll have to vote on a final recommendation as we go to the council as is, or if you guys made any adjustments.
Okay, so the vote is on all or nothing, but we can talk amongst ourselves to say no police cases. I'm not saying
that. Exactly, that's correct.
Did you hear me? I'm not saying that.
That's correct.
Talk amongst ourselves out loud.
So to that end, I guess, Tim, I know you walked us through the Chromebooks and the replacement schedule and whatnot, but if you were to wait until June on those, like, what is the actual impact in terms of, like, students this year, what they're equipped with this school year, and your ability to get ready for next school year? Like, is your purchasing process quick enough that they would be ready for next year either way?
That's a tough question. So typically we try to estimate the cost of a Chromebook at somewhere between $250 to $300. That cost varies because it's not just based on that piece of hardware, it's also based on the licensing that Google charges at the time that has to be paired with that Chromebook. So those are variables. Last year I got really lucky. When it was time for me to buy, Dell said, hey, we got this great deal. These Chromebooks are going, we're going to the next model year. You might be able to get these. We have 70,000 of them set aside, blah, blah, blah. You might be able to get on this. The timing was great. So it really is timing dependent. If I put my order in, I would say no later than May-ish to have them ready for September, to pass out in September. Beginning of September, end of August, right?
And if I'm looking at this right, you have 300 in tier one and another 300 in tier two. Am I looking at that right? There's 300. Laptop. Never mind.
Teacher laptops are the 6 year old laptops that the teachers have right now that are all out of warranty.
Okay.
That's for tier two.
Yeah.
Okay. You really need those.
I guess just to share the thinking behind the question, it's just purely of like, this proposal has us putting commitment against a pretty significant chunk of money. If we do have a significant deficit and we are then short, like we are in a much bigger hole, if there's anything here we can defer, it seems to behoove us to do that and revisit in June. If that makes sense. I'm not trying to put Chromebooks on the spot, I just like, you know, anything that we could wait more months, at least then make sure we don't end up in a hole that we're, you know, cutting off our hands to solve instead of like, deferring something out or.
I completely understand, and keep in mind I'm the one just buying the hardware and making, and I'm filling an educational need. The impact on that educational need would be better answered by the educated folks in the room here. Is it going to impact instruction? What will that do when the devices aren't there to be given to the sixth graders? If we kick that can down the road, those sixth graders that are supposed to get Chromebooks that will last them from the sixth grade all the way through graduation, which is a stretch in itself, that's 6 years, don't get them. What does that do? It's that whole kicking the can process again. I do not recommend pushing that, kicking that can.
Because the risk is that we say no now, let's remove it, but then we come back and there is no money left. You know, we decide to plug the gap with money and now there's no Chromebooks. You know, if you look at this list, it's scary to think there's no body armor, there's no special education, you know, they're all scary what ifs.
But I think the converse to that is, you get to June, there's a deficit, now you're firing people or doing something else that's even more abnormal to get back to people for this year, let alone next year. So it's like, yes, agreed. Like all of these things are on this list for a reason, but if we pay for them now and end up in a hole in June, the hole is harder to get out of because you can't undo these things.
It's
that scenario in the pocket.
It's a terrible decision either way.
One question on tier two item. So we have listed as the new style of brownfield demo remediation for $30,000. Maybe just a little background there, because I looked through some of the supporting appendices and saw that the cost of this project is actually a lot more. I think there was an EPA grant that's offsetting this for $500,000. Also saw that some of the potential concerns that, like, scary sounding chemicals and asbestos and lead in that building. So a couple questions. One, does that EPA grant expire at some point? And then two, does the town have liability if something goes wrong on this that wouldn't be covered by our casualty policy?
So yes, no. So the grant, huge kudos to our planning director who went out and sought this out on himself recently. The new style project is off of Grove Street, top across from the MassDOT facility. Long story short, it was a tax title property the town took 20 years ago. We have some liability, but not in the traditional sense. We spent about $750,000 over the last couple of years from federal ARPA money, a grant from Congressman Auchincloss, and a few other sources to get that remediated. This money that we got for grant money, or the $30,000 request, it's not a match, but in order to get the grant, essentially the EPA likes to see that there's a local contribution. The grant has just been awarded. We don't have the money yet. That's why it's in tier two. We're waiting for more of the grant paperwork to come through the cycle. Brian's point earlier, that's something we can take up in June and deal with that $30,000 debt. We do have some protection over the liability of the parcel. It's not accessible right now, but it's been there for decades. It was a problem for the previous property owner, it's been a problem for the town. But we've made huge headway in the last few years on this. Like, that parcel is in far better shape and ready to do a lot of the remediation work than it's ever been in 20 years. So that's why we put it in tier two. We felt comfortable like pushing that out a little ways. And we're grateful that Marina got the $180,000 grant from the EPA. I can't speak, this is another one of those, and I'm sorry to say it, but I have no idea what's gonna happen in DC. I mean, it's just, and I know it sucks. I know everybody says it again, but it's like another one of those, like, I mean, tomorrow they can wake up and just get rid of the EPA. So it's real. It's not even facetious anymore. So that's one of those also that doesn't have some regulatory cap timeline on it. So the EPA and the state are just thrilled that we've made the progress we are. And so it's in good shape. It's not really something that's an emergency that people should be concerned about right now.
Okay, so there's a pretty reasonable chance to get another shot at that to at least get that grant money.
Absolutely. I think it's going to take months to even do the paperwork. The EPA is brutal with red tape on this stuff. So it's like, it's going to take us a while to get all that funneled through. And even get the money in hand is probably going to take until summer.
Okay. Excellent.
This might also help you, Chair. The pollution down there is basically, it was an old jewelry place.
Right.
So it's heavy metals. So it's not moving. Like a lot of times, if you deal with stuff that's going to move, it's going to get in a waterway. That's usually a much more expedited type thing. But this stuff is pretty much just sitting in the soil. It's not going up and down. It's not being blown around, and the building is taking down. So,
gotcha.
As Jamie said, it's a very stable site. It's going to be cleaned up, but it's not really causing any problems.
Okay. Makes sense.
Jen?
I was just going to say, thinking through these things, and we talked about how departments all know capital comes from not spending. So I imagine that many of you are frugal throughout the year because you know that you're going to have necessary capital things throughout the year. So looking through that, you know, tier one is 44% of that kind of what you've really worked hard to be frugal throughout the year. So just saying, I
appreciate that we're kind of really diving down and thinking about the potential deficit, but I feel like these are really necessary items that we can't kick down the road anymore. You've really kind of operated the best you can to just get this little bit to keep it going. So just kind of wanted to voice my opinion on that, and I'm totally open to, again, because I think it's great to think about the future, but I just want to come from that place of like, they need a little something.
Two for two on great points, by the way. two great, like, summary points. I do just want to ask, again, you're just going to have to forgive me. This is my first
time. Nope, no worries.
So the bucket of free money, no, the bucket of money is how much? Do we know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
4.5 million. I'm sorry. Where am I going?
There was one sheet where.
It's 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5, and then they take away the enterprise funds, and it went to.
Enterprise funds has nothing to do with.
Not enterprise funds. I meant OPEB.
OPEB. Correct. Sorry. Yep.
So the 4.5 minus
the OPEB
was the 4066. Yeah. And the 45% that I just stated was based on the 4066. 1.8 of 4066 is 44.5%.
Oh, so
is the tier one.
So the available free cash is the $4 million.
Total at the top 4.5. See the very top.
Right, I understand. Yep. I'm already taking
right.
out
oh, my
taking out the
OPEB
because
yep.
that's
yep.
long gone. Right?
Yep.
So that's done.
Yep.
All right. And then there was a slide that had the. Oh, there you go.
So that's the total of tier one, and then what's remaining.
What is the town policies mean?
That's the OPEB.
That's the OPEB. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't do mental math. That's why I went to law school. No math.
Got it.
And then what's the available free cash?
That's after you deduct
okay.
the starting free
that's
cash, town policy, and tier one. That's what we have left.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the proposal right now is to basically use half.
Yes. Okay.
And it's basically to use almost all of what they save in operating savings. They save 1.9 in operating savings throughout the year, according mm-hmm. to this.
Yep.
And so to use 1.8 of that towards capital.
Yep.
Yep. Or tier one.
And I think maybe this was already asked, but what is the reasonable maximum exposure for like a deficit number in June that you guys are looking at?
2.2.
So that's like what you've held in free cash. Okay.
Bingo.
But that's not addressing any tier two or tier three things.
That's correct.
Correct.
Yep. We're suddenly quiet. Anything to anybody else? Any?
Does anybody have any questions for the schools or fire department or senior center or anybody?
Yes. So Jen, I still have to go through enterprise funds and okay. I want to address some of Jen's.
So do you guys have anything
sorry.
You want to add, Lucas or Colin or you don't have to.
I would just to support Tim. I didn't know if I was going to be called up. I was just waiting for the cue for Mr. Conley. I'm used to the look. At this point, just to answer the question on the impact on one-to-one devices, I just took a few notes. But basically, the loss of equitable access, we use them for assessments for students. All the assessments are done digitally for state districts. There would be some challenges, just equity challenges with different folks with different socioeconomic status. So when we assign work and there are things that do get completed digitally at home for homework through Google Classroom. If you weren't able to purchase your own device, that would be an impact. Some of the bigger ideas is there are costs that are associated with no tech. And I actually am not all in on complete technology. We actually have a really powerful citizens comment last night around the balance of technology. So I'm not saying that that's what I'm advocating for, but I would say we've been years into a one-to-one device program, and I think the point that Mr. Raposa made around basically decay happens if you don't replace devices when they hit an age. I have a senior this year at Franklin High he was issued a Chromebook in sixth grade. It's lasted this long, but that thing, I'm not sure I would be wanting to give that to a sixth grader at this point. And ultimately, tech support numbers will climb, older devices get. There's some costs associated with not reinvesting. I think I heard the example similar to a vehicle where it gets to a tipping point where the cost of repairs, the amount of time to repair has its own cost, and printers, inks, paper, copiers are all other added costs. So I just would offer that to you as just a perspective on those pieces. And we do use technology with Chromebooks also when we think about some of our students who have a need for some of the assistance. A lot of that goes to the special ed department if it's specialized, but there are different programs that assist our students with their learning that they can use that come in a digital format. So, and curriculum investments. When we have a curriculum investment, we get the books that we have that are hard copy, but it also will come with a digital book. My daughter is also at Franklin, she's a sophomore, but one of her classes, the book is so thick that they have a class set, because that's what we could afford, so they use them in classes, and if you rotate through that period, you just everyone shares a book. But the digital one is used for when they go home so that they can look and do the homework and not carry that around, but also it's shared in multiple classes. So just a couple of points to just balance off what Mr. Raposa said about that. These are not easy decisions. I would advocate all of the things that we put forth. We know we're submitting to you the things that we think we need, and we certainly wouldn't want to put anything out there that we weren't prepared to be asked about, and it should be judiciously looked at and scrutinized, but we're certainly putting forth things that we feel the most appropriate, and that's it. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but thank you for the time.
I just have one quick. Is sixth grade the first year they get the one-to-one?
Sixth grade.
Yeah, so and elementary is using like a cart, right?
They use a cart and they share a cart. They're not take-home.
Yeah.
When do we do the vote on this?
Tonight.
Oh, I know. I mean, in terms of, do you have another presentation, and then we vote on it at the end?
I just want to go through the enterprise fund first.
Let's do the enterprise fund.
And then you can vote on all three resolutions. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Enterprise funds are going to be quick, right? You're going to be quick, right?
Why are you asking me? I know what they are. I've looked at it many times. So, again, in the resolution, I don't have to go through each slide. You have water, sewer, and stormwater. So, based on those requests, do you have any questions?
One just general question. If equipment is purchased by enterprise fund, can that be used elsewhere in the town, or does it have to be only specifically used for whatever the fund that's purchasing the water enterprise? Can it only be used for water purposes? And I'm looking at the MIDI excavator as an example of that. Is this a deal that can't be used elsewhere? Would we have to like build the town back for the usage, or is it just we can use that wherever?
We do use it. Don't forget, a lot of the projects we do, they're multifaceted. So that's how you say it happens. Like you say, we got an excavator with the water department. We might fix a water line, we also fix a road at the same time because you dig up the road. So that's it. We can use it that way. That's the questions like that. We buy a truck for the sewer department, we use it for snow plowing because they got to clear all the facilities we have for sewer because we have 24 lift stations. So yeah, there are multi-use equipment. But typically the sewer truck, say that truck goes out every day, it's driven by the sewer, so it's taking care of the stations.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's some, there obviously is some crossover.
Gotcha.
Any other questions?
What's asset management phase two?
That's under sewer.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Yep, so we did phase one of that. So asset management is where you look at all your assets. So in phase one, we looked at all our sewer pump stations or lift stations, and we ranked them from a risk standpoint and tried to figure out, all right, if station X was to fail first, what needs to be improved at. So we have that plan and we're working on, and you'll see replace control systems at seven lift stations at $250,000. So that's a continual capital costs or capital requests that I come up with every year. And that's part of that asset management plan, was to let us know, hey, this is kind of our plan to replace these and upgrade these assets. So phase two is going to look at our horizontal assets, or our pipes in the ground. So we're going to have a holistic plan, just looking at a risk profile of all those pipes. If we were to, you know, is there a sewer main that goes under MBTA crossing, that kind of stuff, and then kind of prioritize repairs and priorities. That makes sense.
Yes.
It also helps us budget, so we don't come in here with like one big number, like you heard about the tech department equipment. We wouldn't hate to come in here and say, you know, we need $2.3 million to do this. We want to phase stuff in so it goes in over time. So we do a lot of asset management.
It helps build out our capital plan.
So I have a couple questions. One is the study. So you had mentioned that the studies were, you were kind of pushing all the studies off. I noticed that there's a couple of studies embedded
only
in
for
this.
General fund.
Just for general fund.
Yeah. Okay. Enterprise funds is, was explained, are completely separate.
Right. And but that mentality and that approach is just for general funds.
Correct.
We don't apply it to this.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. That was my first one. Yep. Second one, I didn't see it. I may have missed it. I know that when Tim presented, we asked for a replacement schedule. Do you also have a replacement schedule for vehicles and equipment?
We do, yes.
So is that something that, we could, that you can share with us?
I believe it's in your...
It's all that. There's an appendix at the end with links to all of the 5 and 10 year capital.
So it wasn't in there, I had to click out to get it.
Correct. It's on the last page, yeah.
But it's a link, it's not the actual...
Correct.
The link's the website. Okay.
It's one of the appendices, yeah.
If it was 60 pages, it would have been 200 and something, so we just figured we'd try to keep it.
It's a PDF. I wasn't printing it.
No, but I'm saying it's like just to go the document.
So yeah, when you look in there,
yeah.
Every vehicle that we
find in the struggle our world. Everybody wants it on a page, but then they want everything. Like I can't. I'm trying.
Well, I just wanted to. I didn't see
it's Appendix B in there. For it, that's helpful. And that also has the police one, which I know you had a lot of questions on. So that one listed out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Appendix B is the link to the replacement schedule. Okay.
Yep.
Next, stormwater. So I know that stormwater enterprise is new as of 2 years ago, because I see it in my bill now. So you did a presentation about stormwater mitigation strategies. 1.2 was, I think, the number that came out of that presentation for costs associated with that. So when I look at this, some of these things that we're paying out of the stormwater enterprise are not mitigation per se, but then I also, just because I don't have the context of this, so it's kind of related, the money that was in the operating budget for stormwater mitigation strategies, how did we kind of handle that a year ago? Was that money removed from the operating budget when we established the enterprise fund or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there was stormwater, I think 1.1 million roughly in costs, I think, in the actual operating budget. We worked with the FinCom to move a lot of those costs to the snow and ice. And so those costs in the operating budget have now fully moved to the enterprise.
What did you mean, snow and ice?
We used to use free cash to pay for snow and ice.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore. The full cost of snow and ice removal is now in the operating budget. We did both of these changes in the same year. So we essentially took stormwater costs out of the general fund into the enterprise.
And
then instead of using free cash for snow and ice removal, we fully funded snow and ice removal in the budget. So we did a little bit of those shell moves when we did that.
And then snow and ice, though, once that's budgeted for snow and ice, that can't go back into the general fund, right?
Correct.
So that is locked in for snow and ice.
It is locked in for snow and ice, and we have a stabilization policy we started a few years ago where any money that's not spent on snow and ice goes into the snow and ice stabilization fund up until $1 million so that we have reserves for the winter that we'll get someday, most likely where there'll just be a 100 inches of snow.
All these stabilizations you're making, Tim, are supposed to jail.
Sorry,
Tim, didn't mean to bring up the sore spot. Okay, because that was my concern.
Not that I don't love stormwater,
but I know that some of those things were, when I look at this, I'm trying to figure out how that plays into it, right? Because I know part of it was operating, part of it was the enterprise account that we now pay for through the tax. And then, like,
Police call it fee.
Whatever it is, it costs me money.
It's not the rain tags.
Yeah, so anyways.
I don't like it either. I have to do it. We have to do it.
Okay, so that was my question to try to figure it out. And then the schedule is in there. So I guess we talked about this last time when poor Tim was here. We beat him down for a good hour and a half. And we talked about back in the day, nice to have versus need to have, right? So we talked about being in a town, you know, we talked about the screens and replacing all the interactive screens and this, and how, you know, 10 years ago that was, we were able to manage that financially, right? I mean, I don't think we ever had extra, but we were able to manage it. So I guess my question then becomes, when do we get to a point that we're kind of looking at those nice to have, needs to have too, when it comes to some of those things within your department? I think, I say it to your department, because I think you have the most flexibility financially, right? Because you have the enterprise funds, you have some of those other things that are kind of ebbing and flowing, and you have a lot more, not volatility, but there's more flexibility, I guess, in your spending. Whereas our police, fire, and schools get a step out. They don't really have the ability to kind of see any ebbs and flows in their money, right? So how, I guess, and again, not that I want to take from any budget, but when we look at any town budget and where we can take from, it looks like there is some opportunity to kind of slim down in your department. So that's where I kind of look at these things and say, are we using the enterprise funds to kind of offset some of those needs to haves instead of those nice to haves?
So Brutus is definitely going to answer that in detail. But just so you understand, an enterprise fund is rate based.
Right.
Okay, so we would have to increase your utility rates.
No, I'm not asking for more money. I'm saying the allocation of how you pick the things that you're picking.
Stuff.
Yeah, like the nice to have. I'm looking at
the nice to have. Well, I think they're.
Well, no, because I think you mentioned like the excavators. So I see the excavators on here twice, right? So if we're buying two, do you see what I'm saying?
They're replacements, yes.
Yeah, so that's all I'm asking.
So I could go on to talk about how my department financially has already been decimated over the last 3 years, particularly on the general fund side. And you're all going to start seeing it because your roads are here. I'm doing a big presentation on capital. So you're going to see what's happening.
Okay, so maybe that's when I can wait for my question.
Infrastructure.
Yeah, the infrastructure that's out there. Okay. But when you talk like, when you see like an excavator, so like in this case, you know, for the stormwater.
Yeah.
We use that not just for clearing, we use it probably to clean out the brush cutting inside there.
Yeah.
So that's, if we don't do that, we have to outsource it, which costs a lot more money. It's actually better off with personnel. And I think what I said before, and I will tell you, we have a lot of great equipment down the public works. You guys at council were great over the last year buying some equipment because we have the best tools, but on the flip side, we have a lot less personnel. The one I keep talking about with Jamie, that someone, you know, questioned the lawnmower that we bought. You know, the $90,000 lawnmower. People are like, what do you need to buy a $90,000 lawnmower? Well, that lawnmower cuts 30 acres of grass with one guy in a day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's much more efficient to get a small lawnmower with three different people out there. And it's one piece, it's one powertrain, it's one thing. So it actually saves money in the long run. So that's pretty much what a lot of this equipment is, because we do it in-house, we outsource it. And I do outsource a lot of stuff, I do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it is more efficient to go on to have it done, because we're not specialized. But this equipment supports what we have to do. And then don't forget, when it comes to water and sewer particularly, it's emergency type stuff. I can't have equipment that's not running because I don't have an excavator to dig a hole in the ground because I got to fix a water pipe. You know, we got to fix those in a timely manner. We want to give our employees the best tools to get the job done the quickest way possible to get our services back. You know, water's one thing that's kind of it's an inconvenience, but if we have a sewer, like Doug's talking about, you know, we have raw sewage running down the Charles River. You know, if that happens, that's not a good thing. And it's a big environmental cleanup. So that's why we have to stay on top of this stuff. And this equipment supports it.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious, because like, I know,
So I think you brought up two points. The first was using enterprise funds to help, you know, offset some of the DOT stuff. So we can't, enterprise funds really need to be, you know, if it's a water enterprise, like the purchase is for water related, right? So we do, obviously, that piece of machinery, when we're not using it for water, is now open to the DPW. So it gets used in that sense. The excavator that's under the water enterprise for purchase this year, so that $280,000 is for just the excavator itself, is to replace the 2009 mini excavator, so it's a little bit bigger machine. The excavator piece that you see under stormwater's budget is the attachments that go along with that excavator that's going to be used by stormwater. So it's a brush cutter attachment and other things that stormwater specifically will be able to use on this machine that will be primarily for water, but when stormwater needs it, they'll have those attachments. That help answer that question?
Oh, so one is not an actual machine, one's
no,
an attachment?
No, one's just the attachments for it, yeah.
And
kind of more to my first point too, so like it would be like if so if you see on the DPW priority or wants list, right, one of them was a street. So we have two right now. One of them is a global, and it you know doesn't work as good as it should, right? So I wouldn't be able to buy that with water enterprise funds, right?
Oh, I understand how that works.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
so
yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Are there restrictions legally to the use of enterprise funds? If you collect it for water, will we apply it to the police department?
No.
So I
you're correct.
So you can't just kind of shuffle them around.
No.
It's got to stay collected it for water. If we collected it for stormwater, we could buy leaf picking up trucks. Those are the rumors. I remember
they want the correct size leaf pickup.
I remember those pickup presentation on stormwater. I pay a lot to get rid of these. Okay. Any more questions?
One quick policy question. Just noticing the stormwater enterprise doesn't have an emergency reserve. Do we think
it
we
just started?
Yeah. Is that something we are looking to
we're
do?
We're going
to
look at.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Yeah. Because we're just starting.
Yeah.
How much is in the enterprise fund?
Which one?
So H3? So sorry. There's three separate ones?
Yes.
Okay. And how much is in each, I guess?
And that is all that. Yep.
So the original retained earnings that was approved by DUA for water was $2.9 million. And with this resolution, 1.4, they're requesting, so there's going to be 1.5 remaining.
And in the policy, we do ask to have those reserves in case of a water main emergency.
Right. Something big.
And SOAR, you are approved 4.7. And with this resolution, they're using 1.7, so there'll be 2.9 left. I didn't get the exact numbers.
This is perfect.
This is exactly what I wanted.
Okay. And stormwater was approved at a retained earnings of $830,000. And they're going to use $267,000, so that'll leave a balance of $563,000.
That was perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Liz. Oh, and solid waste. Sorry.
No, we have four.
Solid waste. They're not using any retained earnings this year.
Oh, okay.
But they'll have basically 1.1.
So they have 1.1. Zero between
just.
Not to belabor all these numbers, but as someone who was just a regular citizen before being allowed to be on this, these are the kind of questions that I have.
Of course.
Because when you see $3.4 million, mm-hmm. You're like, oh my God, we have a huge deficit. How can we be spending $3.4 million? Why are we buying the cool lawnmower? That's why people think that. It's because there's a disconnect in the round number, layman's term, A plus B equals C.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think, although I'm asking very, very probably to everyone in this room's benign questions.
No.
These are the ones that I have.
Correct.
And these are the ones that are causing people to say, why did you need a $90,000 mower?
Understood.
We have a huge deficit.
And this is why the chairman of the finance committee has been saying year after year, you need to listen to the finance committee and attend the finance
100%.
Correct.
Completely agree with you.
Yes.
And I think that the more that you do this, though,
yep.
there are more people, kudos to whoever came up with the idea for that big group meeting, joint
yes.
meeting, right? The more you do these and the more you ask these inane questions and put it out there,
mm-hmm.
the more that people that want to start paying attention and start being upset have an easy way to find out. They can listen to this. I would think everybody in town that was upset about the budget should listen to this if they only spent time on one meeting. This is a great one. Because if we highlighted all the things in the beginning about what was missing with real numbers, simplistic, broken down, not high level. And this is the kind of thing that, this is a little bit soapboxy, isn't it? I get it. But this is what people need to see, and they do need to see it. I know it's frustrating to do this over and over and say, well, people don't listen. More people are listening, and these are the people that you can catch.
This is why we, when you wanted to be on a committee, you'd be, really? I mean, Ryan, you know, John,
like all
Jen, really, I mean, Chris, like, all you all are pretty new. Like, and that's, I think I'm glad for all the interest that people have and want to serve, and I hope your friends and folks in town, you can talk to them about mm-hmm. these things and what, how these procedures go, the baseline of all this. So hopefully you'll become surrogates and stewards into the community and talk to them about these things, right? I know Natalie has, I know George has, and Lauren and others, but this is a great commentary. I appreciate that. These are not the only questions.
This is really great, though. Thank you for putting this.
Of course.
We have 13 people watching.
Good job, 13 people. One is definitely my wife, so you got 12.
That's a
I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah. What time will he be home?
How she gets this fail.
That's right, Mark. So, this is a relationship my wife and I have. It's through you two. It's very romantic.
Are we set with questions as a committee?
Yes.
What do you need from us?
I need you to recommend these resolutions.
Do we have to make a motion for each one individually, or can I make a motion for?
I think we should do it individually.
Okay. I make a motion to recommend resolution 26-03, which is to move $451,845 from free cash to the OPEB trust fund stabilization account.
Seconded. All those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? 2603 is passed. Mm-hmm. Unanimous. 2604,
which isn't in the package, so I'm going to have to. Oh, yes, this is not in order. Okay.
So I'm going to help you out, Lauren. So, in the past, we used to have a finance committee vote.
Yes.
Then it was removed. So, I also am confused, and should I be putting that in or not? So I think going forward, yes, I'm going to be putting that in.
Okay.
Finance committee, how many approved and all that.
Okay.
Right now I'm making notes of the approval, and then when we present to town council,
okay.
we'll say that we'll make a note that you have unanimously. Thank you.
Yep.
So before we vote on 2604, mm-hmm. if we wanted to propose a change to that, we just say that now, or just vote no and then ask after?
You make a motion to make an amendment. So you would say,
okay.
I motion to add in, I make a motion to decrease, I make a motion to remove, that type of thing, and then everybody has to vote so that you have consensus. And then win or lose, and then we move on.
So, if I may, I'd like to make a motion to strike the facilities senior center fire prevention system from the proposed list.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in
discussion.
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 If there is.
Right. personally, I would probably no. I don't think I can risk having any more damage to that building, because we all know it's going to open, whether it's later this year or whenever. That building's going to open again, and I don't want to have open it.
Yes.
We're going to have, because of, you know, say no, the heat bill's going to run the heat, whether it's open or closed, especially in this room. It's kind of like Davis Stairs, costing us $200,000 a year to run it, but you can't let it die. That's why I would be opposed to that. I think it's time to get it done, personally. Anyone else?
Me.
So I'll say that I think this looks like 41% of the Tier 1 funds are going towards the sprinkler system. I'm a little concerned that the building won't be open next year as a result of the override, perhaps. Maybe we table these repairs, the cold these funds.
So I think I would vote. Through Mr. Chairman, I just want to say, like, this idea that the building is not going to be open is not going to happen. I understand my memo when I put it out in August wasn't to say that that's going to happen, but to make sure the community understands, if you want to remove it, that's your choice. Like, you can do that. I'm just saying, like, this idea that it's not going to be open or people are going to get laid off, like, is like the least likely layoffs of anybody in the public. You're dealing with, you know, low-income individuals, you're dealing with food insecurity, you're dealing with a variety of other things. I just don't want that to be the reason that you guys recommend pulling this out, right? Like, because it is going to be open, there is a very unlikely chance that that staff can cut and the building is not going to be there. I mean, it's just so... If somehow the town council cuts that budget, you are going to have far greater problems in this community than anything we're talking about tonight. You will have a virtual stage out of staff that will walk out of this facility and just say, you have got to be kidding me. Sorry. The idea that a $600,000 budget of $150 million that represents 25% of the town's population is absurd. So I just want the folks here, if you want to repeal it because it's 41, you know, it's a lot of money and you want to wait, like, I get all those reasons. I do not want people to come away with the idea that somehow that, I'm telling you right now, and in my budget in April, there is not one penny that is going to be cut in the senior center. So that is going to be put on the elected officials to cut the senior center. At a time when demand is growing on the senior center due to federal cuts in an aging population. So I just don't want anyone to have the fallacy that the building's not going to be open. And I just had to say that because several people have said it, and it's just not going to be the result. Thank you.
Procedurally, I think we skipped the argument about why Ryan would want that. I think
that's
we needed to start with that. Why we're not just saying, it's not just saying, well, we hate these guys. Why is this proposed to be cut? Why he's proposing this?
Certainly
and
way,
then...
So it was not a, hey, okay, the senior center's closing, we don't need it, like, the buildings. That's not it at all. It's just a standout item in a fiscally turbulent time where we're saying, like, on a $600,000 budget, we're putting more than that towards a single line item now, whereas, like, in 6 months, potentially, we could much more comfortably do that in light of much more information about the budget for next year and about where we're landing this year. It is just a standout line item to me that as, say, a more fiscally conservative-leaning person, I wouldn't want to put that out right now because, again, it's 40-odd percent of what we're spending here. Like, all of these other things and a number of the other things on the tier two list could be accomplished with that single line item. I'm not proposing taking tier two items to replace it because I'm not trying to lower its priority. It's just a simple, like, it's half of what we're talking about.
I'll read it. I just want to make sure the building closing, is not something that people are weighing on people's minds.
At least not as.
I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure that the building closing is not.
So just a couple of things. One, I hear your point. It's not a budget, it's free cash. So I think one of the things that they also take into consideration is how much they want to use, right? So you could have used less, you could have used more. It was really based on the needs of those high priority items. Am I correct?
Yes, as well as knowing that we have a budget deficit.
Right.
Okay.
So it takes those things into consideration.
Correct.
So that number wasn't like a set budget per se, like a department budget. That was what we identified as fiscally responsible, knowing our state and the needs that were tier one or super important.
Yes. Now this is a facilities request,
yeah.
not senior center department request. Also,
oh, yeah.
I want that clear.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know.
This is
yeah.
the building
yeah, yeah.
needs to be improved.
Right. So then my question, did you know I'm going to ask a fire question? Did you stand it up? So now I have a question about...
Just stick to the amendment?
Yeah. Because okay. In order for me to vote, I need to be informed.
Right.
So can you talk to me about code violations and requirements and safety? Because I know that the senior center, as much as it houses our senior and it's a community resource. We also do host a ton of events there, so there's a lot of traffic in and out of that building beyond just our seniors. So can you just talk to me about the code piece and then any liability that we would be facing if we didn't make sure that we were updating?
It's pretty simple that a sprinkler system has to work for that
yeah.
building to be occupied.
Yeah.
So we have to have that in there.
Yeah.
It's not something that, if the sprinkler system goes down, we can't have anybody in the building. So it's a huge liability for the town.
Yeah.
It's
as simple as
that.
Okay, thank you.
And it doesn't work today? Is that?
Right.
Yep.
Kevin Arn, Director of Facilities. I also just want to say, in this whole process, the departments were asked to prioritize our own capital requests. There's a reason why this is number one. Unlike a chiller or a boiler or a domestic water heater, this is a life safety system for our senior center. I just want to emphasize that, make sure that everyone here knows.
Just to clarify, I don't think the point is to not do it. I think to your point, that all these departments did a great job saving money. I think also about borrowing on the fiscally conservative part of it. I think there is a little bit of value in holding back more of that savings, maybe a little bit longer till we see where we're at. I don't think we necessarily have to spend all our savings. I know we're not spending all our savings. I understand we're cutting out we're saving out the deficit amount.
Okay.
But it's like if you've saved up a lot of money and then you say, well, I'm gonna spend all of it. Or could we maybe just spend some of it? And I understand why this is a priority. And I'm not saying let's not do it. I'm just saying this is a big bucket of a big piece of the money that we can maybe hold on to for a little bit longer just in case until we know we're a little bit better. And then
yeah, but the just in case makes it a risk. We could be through the budget process and now we're in June and we really do have a $3 million deficit, and now the risk is we don't do it. So there's a risk either way if we don't do it now. I mean, I personally would rather find $750,000 in tier one or tier two that we never get to until maybe next year versus cutting something that is, I've been to the senior center multiple times, I see what it does for the community, and I think the community would be devastated if it shut down. There was already a major problem with it where it was shut, portions of the place were shut down for repair for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just think I'm a little bit with George, where I see the value it adds. I think we've kicked this can down the road so many times that I personally think it's something that we need to do. I understand everyone's concerns, I really do. We've talked about it enough over the last couple of years that I don't know how much longer we can keep pushing it.
I don't think the senior center doesn't have value.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I didn't mean to insinuate that.
And I think it's unbelievable what we do there. So I'm not saying it doesn't add value. It's critical, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do it.
So one other thing I just want to point out. Using free cash to cover a budget deficit is not something we want to do, because that is a one-time revenue source, right? Okay. So unfortunately, we have to this time. It is not something that we want to do every year. In fact, we can't. It will compound, and we won't be here anymore, because they would fire me, because that is wrong. So this is how I talk. I'm not as eloquent as Jimmy Helen, but what I'm trying to say is, it is, facilities is saying it's a priority, and now, yes, it's a tough decision, I agree, but I just want to make sure that you understand, I don't know if I'm going to have it later on.
Hello, I'm Chastity Chang, I'm the Deputy Director at the Senior Center. I just wanted to just give a little update or let you know what we see every day as far as numbers. I run a report every month. We're running from 250 to 300 seniors in the building a day. We do not want to spend $750,000 on a fire suppressant system. No one does. But unfortunately, we do have individuals who are in walkers and wheelchairs. We have people that do Zumba as well. So we have all aspects. But this is definitely a safety concern for all of us. And with 300, and our numbers just keep going up every month. And the numbers, we're looking at 300 to 350 a day within the next couple of years. So this is definitely something that we need. Thank you.
I just want to reiterate, I do love the fiscal responsibility. I think this is the first time I've seen the committee kind of push back and think that strategically about it, so I love that. Because of the safety issue of it, I'm not comfortable deferring it even for 3 months. I mean, it doesn't start right away, right? And you want to get as close to as possible of preventing a really bad situation.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Even it's the time in between now and whatever we might decide to do this in the future. And I would rather have this now going to deal with this as part of the budget process and have that as a known number that we have to deal with, rather than go through the budget process, make our decisions, and then, oh, we don't have it, we didn't consider this when we were doing the budget process, we no longer have the money to do this, it needs to be pushed off another year until we go through this process again. So for that reason, I would be in favor of spending this money.
I just wanted to also say, so Natalie, you had asked me earlier, in tier two, there was, you know, a coil and a compressor or units, and if we prolong it, I mean, maybe just like additional construction costs and stuff, but this issue right here, if anything happens to the sprinkler system and we prolong it, that'll definitely have significant costs if something happens. So.
A member of the seniors.
Yes. Speaker, like again, 13 Magnolia, I haven't moved in the meantime. Just from a historical perspective, also as a senior, and I've been there on a regular basis, I was not there today because of the other traffic concerns, but it was closed. Would have been there tomorrow morning, but again, those are separate pieces. So the volume of people going through there on a daily basis is one thing, and Chastity mentioned that to you. The facility piece, there has been a history of, unfortunately, since the building was built, it was built improperly. There have been multiple instances, sometimes, and I think the last one, if I recall, was approximately 5 days, where the facility was not used by anybody, not just seniors, but any of the outside organizations who come in on a regular basis. Garden clubs there, art associations there, have their monthly meetings. This is a facility that is an asset of the town. And if you delay, you're increasing the risk that given the weather we have, if it drops to another minus 20 or minus 30, that sprinkler blows again floods the center, and then it's not used at a more expensive repair cost, some of which may get covered with insurance as has before. So just to add that the history piece, this is the final plug of the resolution, because from the building committee from the beginning, they've known it was an issue. They patched it here. The last one was such significance, they finally resolved it. This is the third piece. The other two pieces have been done. If you don't do this, and I understand the timing, totally understand the timing, but you're increasing the risk on a valuable asset of this town, which increases the fiscal irresponsibility of what you're trying to do. My two cents from a reporter's historic perspective, and as well as a senior citizen using it. Thank you.
If it gets approved, if we agree to it, and council gets it?
On February 11th.
February 11th. When's the plumber? Is it, are we trying to head off something that might happen this year? Back up. Is it a weather-related issue that we're going to fix? Although we've replaced the insulation and done all that stuff.
So just kind of like
weather related or a deeper issue?
I think it's a deeper issue, it's system related, but kind of bringing things into context and part of the historical piece. We were provided some funds to take the first phases and steps of taking care of this issue. Getting the senior center insulated was a major piece of it, and so far it's been a huge supporter of solving the problem.
Is that done?
That's done. The next piece was getting a proposal for, you know, a new sprinkler design. We have proposals from engineers to provide those services. However, through procurement policies and stuff, you know, we can't. Although we have like the funds ready to go get the design, we're tied to a timeline to actually execute the work. We need the funds to do the work.
I guess the next step would be, when will the work be done? Summertime? Before next winter, certainly. We've got to be careful this one. Before next winter, is that the timeline?
We'd have to go out to, officially get a designer. They would design it. It would go up to bid. I think it'd be very tight to get all the work done and completed before December 2026.
That's if we approved it today.
Yeah. Oh, well, so the next step is when
sure,
we spend the money.
Yeah. But like, if it moved forward today, what we're saying is it's still likely it wouldn't be done by at least the beginning of next winter. If we delayed 6 months, you're then talking next summer, and we've now said that we've insulated the building to actually shield this system a little bit. I fully acknowledge taking a risk here. Like, it's not a, hey, let's move this off proposal because there's no risk and it's not needed. It's not that at all. It's purely a, yes, it's a risk, but we also have a risk of a major deficit, which is abnormal. So balancing those two risks, what makes sense, you know, I'll say, I can only speak for myself, but in my mind right now, right, one is a broader town risk, the budget deficit that has, you know, cascading impacts, and one is a known quantifiable risk of the senior center basically being unusable if the insulation doesn't protect the system from winter, which is, it's not gonna be fixed this winter anyway. Seems potentially likely for next winter to be partially through the season before it's fixed, versus next summer, where the risk, like as you come out of next winter, isn't that significant of a freeze break. I'm sure it can break for other reasons. I know we kind of honed in on that, but like you're talking 1 or 2 months next winter that we'd really be, you know, at most risk of not doing, you know, if we delayed it 6 months.
I think it's a winter issue.
Agreed. Like, right. You can break it other times, but the
fire
risk is higher.
I think that's why the fire chief.
Yeah, I don't want to risk the life.
I think the fire chief.
Yeah.
Just want to call up and reiterate, we said, I mean, I think part of it is just, one, you've got a safety risk all the time, you got a kitchen, you have a commercial kitchen, whatever. But I think the displacement of the facility is more likely to happen if there's another sprinkler break where it's going to flood again. You've been through two of them, Chuck, I'll let you explain.
There's been multiple sprinkler breaks over there in the past couple of years, so, and it's caused a lot of damage to the building too. So it's imperative that it gets fixed. If the system is turned off, the building can't be occupied. It's a life safety issue. That's it. We would do that to any other building in town, not just a senior center. It was a restaurant. We actually had it happen in a local restaurant. We had to close them down for a couple of days. So if they don't have the funds to fix the sprinkler system, it's closed until that happens, and it's not there. It's not reopening. It's just as simple as that.
So, I mean, the risk is obviously with, you know, minus degree weather, right? I mean, just like every house, every building, right? I mean, that's Jen's question. It's like, yeah, it's not just a winter issue, it's a full year issue.
Right.
The risk is now when it's minus 10 someday, minus 50 today. But, you know, so I think to Kevin, or to your question about procurement, or George, if it's approved by the council on February 11th, Kevin will get a design done. That's not a heavy lift. We've already had a lot of people down there looking at it. Will the work get done by next December? Tough to say specifically, because we have to go out to bid. That's a 30-day process to go into a contract. If we wait till June or July, just to kind of give you an idea, then you are into construction during the winter. I'm not a facilities guy, but there's an over-under on that. Is it better to do the work in the summer and fall than in winter? Sarah, you want to hear from the senior?
Sorry, hold on.
Yeah.
I guess I'm a senior center director.
Yeah.
Another question, if I may. What did it cost to repair it the last time it broke?
I think there was an insurance payment around $700,000 for the damage. And then the insulation was a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah, to insulate it was probably about $125,000.
Sorry, the question is like, what did the town end up having to pay for repairs?
That's
zero because it was covered by insurance.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen. There's another sprinkler break. The insurance regime. You have to. It's insurance. You can't keep going back to the well and insurance and expect them to pay. They eventually cut you off because you don't do the work or fix something to prevent the risk from happening. So insurance is not going to, this is standard insurance stuff. This is not unique to municipalities. The last time we had a break, insurance was gracious. We did work the rest a little bit to get that fixed. But if another break was to happen, I can tell you the insurance company won't cover
it. They actually stated that the last insurance was given.
Right, they stated that plus. Yeah.
Sarah?
Yep.
Yeah, Sarah, let me. Sarah, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hi, good evening. Sarah Amaral, Senior Center Director. I just wanted to add another perspective to it. Obviously, safety would be the biggest concern. But I can say we were closed for 3 weeks this past March, and there was nearly an uprising. This is a large voting block, and they have dealt with it time and time again. And not that it's about revenue, but I do the math to see in my head on how much money that we will lose when we close. We bring about 2,000 to 2,500 a day. So when we close, especially under urgent conditions, you know, it's obviously not 750,000. But it's a big revenue loss when that happens. And then also, when the risk gets higher and higher, you're heading towards an emergency. And the people that we service, you know, it's meals, it's respite care, it's things that people can't find a solution to very quickly. I honestly just think we've put off this problem for too long, and I would really encourage everyone to push this through.
All set?
Yep, thank you.
I guess, is there like an outcome in which we're comfortable not funding this? Let's say we come in too hot on the budget. Like, would we feel better about the decision
in June not to fund this versus making concessions in the budgeting process to meet that gap if we spend money now. Where this is a public safety thing, I'm against the opinion that we need to spend money today to fix it, to get this started. So even if it does lag 18 months or whatever the time frame might be, you're still advancing this thing by so many months because we're doing it now rather than June, July, August, whenever we get around to it. My two cents.
So the process is just so clear, and again, we love the senior center. I don't want to get emails that I want the senior center to burn down.
You will.
I do not want that.
I get it.
Okay? That is not what we're saying.
I might be in it, though.
I definitely don't want that.
So we'll vote on whether or not we adjust the proposal to remove it. That's the first vote. So his was to do it. So if you're a yes, it's to remove it. If you're a no, it's to not remove it.
Yes. So everybody said their things. We've been clear that we love seniors. And
we're ready
now to we can hear next. I'm going to wear an I love seniors.
Any final
comments? Yes. I heart. Sure.
Any final comments? Anybody except her?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Going once. No. Okay. The vote comes on accepting.
Motion to make a
vote. It's already been made.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's discussion.
So we want to vote a yes vote. Fix me again.
Removes it from the tier one.
Yes vote removes it from tier one. A no vote leaves it as it is. All those yes votes say so.
Yes.
No's.
No.
So then we move on the
motion.
On the motion.
Right. Motion to adopt resolution 2604, which will move 1.8 million from free cash to appropriate towards the tier one capital requests as presented.
So move.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Now 26.
Just backwards. So motion to approve resolution 2605, or I'm sorry, recommend 2605 to appropriate the retained earnings from each of the enterprise funds as noted within the resolution.
So moved.
Second? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Future items, I think we can discuss it offline. Okay. I'd accept the motion to adjourn.
So
non debater. All those in favor signify by saying no. Opposed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.